Hi, today is July 21st, 2018. This is Mobile News Podcast 262. I'm Todd Ogasso-Ord, my good friend John Westfall. And thanks to Don for guest paneling with us last week.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of fun, as always.
And then after we recorded, Todd's video connection died and he went away. And Don and I continued talking for about 10 minutes. And thankfully, none of that made it into a pirated episode of the podcast or anything.
Yeah, I forgot to mention, and I forgot. Well, I guess I could have called you back, but I lost internet connection for 10, 15 minutes. It's been an interesting calm time. My for those of you who still have landlines, my landline was down for 4 days. Yeah, and it gave me pause for thought. You know, I know a lot of people, I think 30% of households or near 20-something percent of households in the U.S. no longer have landlines, and after that four-day outage, I began to wonder if I should join them. You
know? Well, and landlines, I don't remember any time before the internet became widely available having outages on landlines that weren't because of some major event. You know, if you had a major natural disaster hit, then the landline might go out. But this whole idea of now that landlines are getting moved over from older to newer technology, that they can have bugs and go out, that's kind of crazy when you think of something that was supposed to be very reliable.
Yeah, actually, I don't know if it's because it's moving to newer technology. And in fact, for example, in Hawaii, I think our last analog to digital central office switch was, not to use a pun, but in the early, mid-90s, so it's been well over 20 years since we went to, you know, full digital in Hawaii. I wouldn't consider that exactly new. But the real problem, I think, is that the infrastructure is aging badly, and because it doesn't make money anymore, they're really not maintaining it. So
yeah, I believe that.
Yeah. So we had about 100 and some odd people in, you know, the area served by the nearby switch, which serves, you know, tens of thousands of people. So out of tens of thousands of people, several hundred of us were out because a switch went out, but because a sort of a relay point to our neighborhood went out. But anyway, our neighborhoods, I should say, went out. Anyway, that was lots of fun, and I'm still debating whether or not to keep my R1 line. And the reason I keep it, there's a tech reason I keep it, by the way. That's, you know, we're talking about major disasters and things, or natural disasters, or man-made, whatever. The last time we had I don't know if you'd call it a disaster. It was not good. We had an earthquake in 2006, that knocked out power for the entire island of Oahu. And we were down for, well, at least my part of the island was down for well over a day. And one of the things I learned at that time is that, at that time I had Sprint, Verizon, and T-Mobile cell service. And one of the things I learned at that time is all of the cell sites went down simultaneously 24 hours after the power went out. Whereas the landline, which is powered from the central office, or at least the two, you have a circuit. Well, as long as you have a functional circuit, you have power to your phone. Unless your phone needs power, then But the traditional phone will still ring, and you can still make calls. And even a phone that won't ring because it needs power to ring, you can still make a call out of it. You'll still get dial tone, as long as they keep the diesel generators in central office running. But at any rate, that's the reason I still keep my landline. Because I have had an instance where all the cell service went down in my area because all the backup generators died near simultaneously, within minutes of each other, really.
Well, it's good to have it then, if you think that could happen in the future.
We know it's going to happen in the future.
There's
no doubt. Just a matter of when. Anyway, speaking of calm, I mentioned my distaste for the new Skype 8.0 for Mac OS.
You've said a few things here and there about it.
Yeah, I've said a lot of bad words, and I'm going to continue to say bad words. It's a terrible update. In fact, each successive Skype update has become worse and worse. And we need to, maybe think about switching to something. I don't know what. None of them are good, in my opinion.
Microsoft has this belief
that
they will reinvent Skype in the image that they have for it. And I really wish that they had just bought a new platform and did it there instead of dragging. Skype was this platform that you signed into when you wanted to talk with someone, when you had a meeting with someone, and that was it. You didn't you know, you didn't think of it as always on, always in the background. In fact, the status symbols on Skype, I thought, were largely ornamental for a long time because, you know, if you just didn't want to talk to someone, you just didn't have, you weren't signed into Skype. And yeah. Now with this idea that it should always be on, and when you call me, it not only rings on my computer, but also on my phone and my tablet.
All of them, right? Yeah.
It's a little crazy, a little overwhelming.
And you know, of course, they didn't help things by making Skype for Business, formerly Link, a totally different platform than the personal Skype that many of us use. So, but they're both called Skype, and confusion ensues.
Yes, and I've actually tried to get people to use Skype for Business in my organization because I thought it would be easier than all of us texting each other on our personal cell phones, and nope, the adoption is basically zero.
Yeah.
So I think unless you have an organization that demands that you use Skype for Business, you just don't.
Yeah, I agree. And even when you do, you know, unless you have your headset on all the time, or you work in an enclosed office where you can leave your speakers and stuff on, it's really not very convenient to pick up the phone, so to speak, or in my case, put on a headset, since I have an unfortunate open office situation.
That is very unfortunate. Open offices are
terrible.
Not optimal for many, many things.
Yeah, and there are many, many studies that, you know, that describe why it's a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Not the least of which is, you know, I think it's like a petri dish for disease. But but in any case, that's a whole nother rant where I want to wipe out the custom of shaking of hands.
I think okay.
We should bow like they do in Asia.
We should just nod. You know, the
nod is fine.
You give nod when you see them and you recognize them from across the room and you just, it's, you know, I see you there. And
yes, I acknowledge your presence.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Speaking of Skype, our object of hate and also of dependency. It's a love-hate thing, I guess. So Skype 8
relationship
is out, and Microsoft is saying that there are some new features coming. There is one interesting one called call recording, which is, it says, let's take call snapshots to the next level with call recording. You can capture. And this is where, you know, I think nobody actually copy-edited their text on their website. It says, takes call snapshots to the next level of call recording, period. Capture a special Skype calls.
Yes, special Skype calls.
A special Skype calls. But anyway, so it says it's entirely cloud-based. And as soon as you start recording, everyone in the call is notified. The call is being recorded. And call recordings combine everyone's video as well as any screen shared during the call. Now, what I don't know is whether you can download this and use it as a podcast or a video cast source. So I guess we'll find out when that feature appears. They say sometime this summer. Summer ends, I think, around the third week of September. So we're about any time in the next 2 months. My guess is it'll be the last day of fall.
My guess, it will be January 4th.
January 4th.
Because Microsoft has, you know, a great history of promising something, and then if it ever shows up, it's very delayed.
So. Yeah, this is true. Speaking of Skype, though, before we end the discussion of that topic, apparently, you know, Skype, if you're using Skype 7, you better not get too used to it because it's going to stop working. What is it, September 21st, something like that? So
yeah, and I'm going to be one of those people that just keeps using it until it dies.
You haven't upgraded?
Not on my Surface tablet.
On your Windows box, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I use Skype for Business on that one, so it doesn't matter, I guess. On my personal device, well, I guess I inadvertently upgraded to Skype 8 for macOS, and I regret it now. I would have liked to keep using the old, better app until the end. Oh, the other thing is that on Windows, at least, Skype is going to disappear completely, right? You got to use the Windows Store version of Skype.
Yeah, probably.
Starting whenever.
Frickin' Microsoft.
All right.
And I'm actually going to praise Microsoft later in this.
I know. So I think that's
wrong.
It's
going to be very, very strange.
Yeah, I think that's really wrong, but okay. All right, next up, App Annie, which does, you know, kind of add app analytics for Android and iOS, had a couple of interesting numbers. One, not too surprisingly, Android had many, many, many more app downloads than Apple's iOS. 20 billion Android app downloads in Q2. 2018 versus 8 billion for iOS downloads. But the interesting thing is the spend is way different. So people with Apple devices buy apps. They spent about $12 billion based on the charts. They didn't actually write the numbers in App Annie's article or blog post, whatever it is. So I'm just looking at the chart, and I'm guessing it's about $12 billion for iOS app spends versus $6 to $7 billion for Android app spends. So even though Android was like 150% more than iOS in terms of downloads, it's half the actual gross revenue. No surprise, right, John? I mean, it's kind of always been like that.
Yeah, and it reminds me actually of something interesting that one of our friends posted. Because obviously, when you think about who uses apps, what apps, if you buy apps, if you don't buy apps, things like that. Earlier this week, Jason Dunn, who's a mutual friend of ours, posted
and a previous guest.
Tweeted, what?
And a previous guest here.
Yep.
Yep.
Posted a link, and I'm actually trying to find the article right now so we can put on our show notes, that the title was 70% of U.S. singles would prefer to date an iPhone user. And this was an interesting article that was it was basically from a website called Declutter. It's a fast and easy, as they put it, free service to sell your old technology. So they're basically in the market of telling people, hey, you should want to get a new phone. But the idea here was that some of the things that they point out is that 70% of U.S. singles would prefer to date an iPhone user over an Android user. Nearly half of women view an old phone as an immediate turnoff. And more than a third of men feel a cracked screen demonstrates lack of personal care and financial security. So it's an interesting, and I'll post this to
our show notes. I didn't see that one.
But it is a very interesting idea how there's so much signal value in what you decide to use. Some of it is, I suppose, valid because you do find these numbers that show that Android users are downloading more but paying less.
Yeah, we know that.
So there's valid information there, but it's very interesting to think about how judgmental people are based on phones. And we've kind of thought about that from the tech side for a lot of years, talking about, no, it's not that any one device is better, but we've never really talked about it from the attraction between people side of just mercilessly judging people on a different platform.
I wonder in this age of Uber, where people, young people, may not have a car to drive or even want a car to drive, I wonder if the phone is the new status. I mean, apparently, I don't have to wonder anymore. I guess the phone is the new car, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think about, you know, how I display my phone versus others. I'm so-and-so. I'm pretty much an old guy at this point because I remember time before a phone. But my phone typically stays in my pocket, and if I pull it out, it's in a wallet case, so you don't really see it. And even then, it's not in a very flashy case. People typically have to ask me what kind of phone I have if they're curious. But I know a lot of people who, at dinner, you know, the phone is always right next to them. It's got a very personalized sort of case on it, either colors stickers or so it really has become, look at my phone.
Look
and,
at my car.
Yeah, same as look at my car.
Yeah.
So bumper stickers, we're putting bumper cases.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, the custom paint jobs, it's did I get the case color combination that I wanted?
Nice.
In the South, where monogramming is big business, I know a number of people who have their monograms on the back of their phones.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, I have a kind of a nondescript. It's an OtterBox, but it's pretty nondescript black case on my phone. You know, I don't know anybody know what I have if I, you know, if they don't see the icons on the screen, and it's off. If it's off, they don't see anything. So interesting. Mm-hmm. That is quite fascinating. I would not have guessed that. I would not have guessed that at all. But you know, it's a changing time. The new, like I said, the new it's the new car as a status symbol. And not just a new car, but what kind of new car do you have, right?
That's true.
And the iPhone is apparently a flashier car than other kinds of phones. I wonder what they think of feature phone users.
I don't think they think of them at all. I don't think they get...
they're like non-people.
Many dates.
Okay, now speaking... This is kind of interesting, actually. Because following up, same App Annie posting about iPhone, iOS and Android apps. And they list.
They lick things? Yeah, they're licking things now. Okay.
they list the top apps, right? They have the top game apps, and I never heard of half the games. I didn't really care. But they list the top apps by worldwide revenue. And one of the interesting things I found, well, what I was going to point out was the top, five of the top six apps are all streaming apps of some kind, either audio or video. But the number two app is Tinder.
Hmm.
Yeah, in terms of revenue, not number of downloads, but revenue. So I don't exactly know how Tinder's revenue model works. Like, do you pay per swipe? I don't know how this works. But apparently you pay money for this thing. And they're number two in gross revenue. I don't know. So this is not profits. It's just amount of money coming in. Of the top six, Tinder's number two. And one, three, four, five, six are Netflix, Tencent Video, IQIYI, I don't know how you pronounce it. IQIYI, it's in caps. So I assume it's Pandora Music and UQ. And all of those are, well, except for Pandora Music, I guess. All of those are video streaming apps. Netflix, of course, we all know, but the Tencent Video, IQIYI, and UQ are in Asia.
And I'd like to point out to Google that YouTube is not on that list, so please stop bothering me all the time to upgrade
to
YouTube.
It is in the top 15, I think.
What?
It's in the top 15, but it's not in the top 10.
Yeah. You know, this is my mini rant on YouTube iOS.
Yeah.
On iOS, if you are watching a YouTube video and you swap away, then the video stops and pauses.
Yep.
And when you go back, it tries to get you to buy whatever the service is for whatever a month to get it to go away. But right. What most people don't realize is that Google actually had to work really hard to make the video pause and not continue, because the built-in iOS video streaming API will put it into a minimized window when you go away from it so that you can keep watching and all of that. So Google, for being the company that was founded on don't be evil, worked really hard to be evil in this case, to take that built-in functionality away. So I think that's why I haven't purchased YouTube Red, even though I watch a lot of YouTube, out of just spite, because I'm angry that they decided to hobble iOS users to try to sell things.
Right. And, you know, I don't pay for YouTube Red, but I have the service because I pay for a Google Play subscription for streaming music. In fact, I have a family plan, which I share with my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that my YouTube rant is that no matter what I'm watching, it tells me to go watch stuff on the YouTube Music app. And I'm not even watching a music app at a time, right? Like I'm watching a news interview or... I'm watching Stephen Colbert's, little bit or something. And it's like, why are you telling me to go watch this in the music app? This makes no sense at all. I tried the music app, by the way, and I didn't see any value in it, so I stopped using it. The regular YouTube app plays everything just fine. Thank you very much.
Oh, frickin' Google. You just anger us so much sometimes.
We're not real happy with tech companies. First, Microsoft and Skype and... We're not a happy bunch of geeks right now.
I will note, if anyone's interested, that the $150 Google Fi credit for Pixel 2 is still going on, Pixel 2 XL, because I keep going back and forth on if I want to buy a Pixel and go with Project Fi as a secondary device, just to have an Android device, because I really don't have a modern Android device, but I think I might stick around and wait for the Pixel 3.
Yeah, absolutely.
At this point. Yeah. So, if anyone's curious, that $150 Fi credit is still there for the Pixel 2 XL.
Yep, if anyone is Fi curious, there you go.
Fi curious.
Yes. I've been a Google Fi subscriber for how long now? 3 years? 4 years? Something like that. Having first used a Nexus 6, not the P, but Nexus 6 and waiting 2 years and moving on to Pixel 2 after that. So I've been pretty happy with the service. You know, one thing it doesn't have that some people might have issue with is it doesn't have an unlimited plan. But I think, I can't remember now. I think it tops off at 6 gigabytes. So if you use more than 6 gigabytes, I think you don't pay any more. And it's $10 a gig. I rarely use more than a gig on my phone. Because, you know, Wi-Fi is pretty easy to find. But in any case, very happy with that. I know when I was in Scotland and I didn't have any cell service where I was in the Isle of Skye. But my hotel did have Wi-Fi, so I actually got an incoming call that I was able to take. And that was a good thing because it was a job offer, which I took.
Well, I will announce it here that I have been very seriously considering just having a Google Fi account just to have a modern Android device. So maybe with the Pixel 3, I'll finally do that and have
an Android
device to play with. Yeah, that's why.
You know,
because I could, you know, over 24 months pay off whatever device I'd want and still be under $50 a month with Fi. So
yeah, and that includes the payment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, which is kind of amazing. Yeah, like I said, I rarely go over a gig on Fi, so my monthly bill is basically $20, which is the unlimited voice, unlimited text, $10 per gig, rarely go over a gig. And, you know, the I think my phone, my Pixel 2 is like $20-something dollars a month. So it's with tax, it's, I don't know, $50-something dollars a month, which I think is very reasonable considering that includes a phone payment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would give Google that. Gee, I'm being very, I guess, even-keeled here. I'm yelling at Microsoft, and then I'll talk about Microsoft later in a positive light.
Yeah.
And
yelling at Google.
I was yelling at Google, and now I'm talking about Google in a positive light.
Yeah.
And I'm just all over the place today.
Yeah. Okay, let's see if you have something to complain to Amazon about, because one of the things that I wanted to mention is I haven't tried this app yet, but Amazon has a new app for iOS called Part Finder. And basically, I think you need a dime and some kind of clean background, like a sheet of paper. And whatever part you're looking for, like a screw or something that you need to, you know, find more of, and take a photo of it. And apparently, I'll identify that, you know, part. And I don't know if you can order just one screw. That seems silly. But but you know, which you could do
if
at
you're
a part
screwed,
store. At a hardware store, you could buy just one screw. You know, so
yeah.
In the old days, I don't know about now.
Well, and this now I guess takes the place of Radio Shack too, when you need, you know, one small resistor or something like that. Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty cool.
Generally, you know what it's called if you're getting very specific things.
Yeah.
So you can look it up that way.
Yeah.
Sounds like a cool app. I have not played with it, but...
Yeah. I'm waiting for Amazon to buy a hardware store now, so I can just, you know, go down, use my app, and order
Amazon
it and pick it
hardware.
Up. Yeah. I think that'd be pretty cool. You know, right next to Whole Foods.
Amazon Depot.
Yeah. Okay, next up, and more of a question than a statement, is there any ticky Amazon Prime purchases?
You know, I actually did not buy anything on Amazon this week.
Wow.
I don't have anything on my tech need list right now.
Yeah.
And really, I've just been, the only thing I'm kind of in the market for potentially would be a new Bluetooth speaker. But even then,
I had a couple of those.
Yeah. And even then, I could get a cheap one anytime. And
yeah, they're not expensive to begin with. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm just... just living without Prime Day celebration this week.
Well, for me, it's not very exciting. But for me, for some reason, I don't know what happened last week. Well, both my wife and daughter are like, do you have any spare lightning cables? Any spare lightning cables? Spare. You got to buy those things, you know?
Yeah.
But as it turns out,
it's
I didn't
like
have...
It's not like mini and micro USB cables that you've got thousands of.
Yeah.
Or if you're like me, you know, millions of just kind of all over the place.
But as it turns out, because, you know, I am who I am, not Popeye the Sailor Man, but you know what I mean. So being who I am, I actually did have spare lightning cables, which I reluctantly parted with and gave them for free. That's a year ago. Use these. So I used the Amazon Prime Day to order a couple of cables. It was really funny because I ordered, the first thing I saw was a pair of anchor cables. And it was a pretty good price. So I said, I'll put that in my... And I just ordered it. And it sort of confirmed immediately, which means you can't, like, cancel it at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I already got them. And then later on, like later that night or something, I was looking again through the, oh, they've got the, you know, the braided ones, the tougher ones. And it was a really good price. I ordered those, and I have three spare, but don't tell them. I have three brand new spare Anker lightning cables. And they also had an Anker USB charger. By that, I mean, you know, ones you plug into a wall, because we can't get batteries in Hawaii to save our lives.
Nope.
So it's in a plug in a wall. It's like a five port, I think, including a quick charger. So I ordered one of those. Always good to have a spare one of those lying around. So yeah, it was not a real exciting thing. I did order the El Cheapo. They had the Amazon Fire HD 8, 8-inch tablet for $50. So that should come in one of these days. Still waiting for it.
Well, that is good. I'm glad you got to enjoy Prime week or Prime day or Prime whatever, yeah. Prime life.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I know people who ordered a whole bunch of stuff, you know, including some big ticket items like you know, graphic accelerators, things like that. But I didn't see anything I really needed. Oh, except for the cables and things. You know, let me rephrase it. Anything big ticket that I really needed and would have saved a whole bunch of.
All right.
Next up. What is this?
Go ahead.
No, I didn't know you could do animated watch faces.
Yeah, so this is something people figured out a few years ago almost now with the Apple Watch, and I finally got it to work after finding the right steps to do it. Basically, the idea here is that you either take a live watch face, so a live photo, and make it into a watch face, or you can take an animated GIF and turn that. And that's what I did. There's a couple of apps out there. I used one that was called Into Live, all one word, and that lets you take a GIF and turn it into a live photo. And so now I have a photo watch face that when I look at it, I have Skeletor from He-Man and, you know, Fame. Raising his arms and laughing, and that's one of so it's just these little things that when you turn your watch on to look at the time, you can enjoy that little bit of humor. But these are fairly easy to make using Into Live, and there's tutorials all over the net. I'll try to find the one that I used, and we can put it in the show notes. But again, this is just sort of I'm finally on the bandwagon and made my life better this week by having animated watch faces.
So Into Live is an app, looks like.
It is. And it will take an animated GIF or a movie and turn it into a live photo so that you can use it with things that require live photos, like Apple Watches.
So the app looks like it's free. So how do they make money? Did they charge you for making the...
There are some additional settings that you can unlock for $2.99 or $3.99. So I did... pay to get those settings, even though I didn't need them for what I was doing, but I figured it wasn't that much money, and it was a nice way to support the author of the app. There's no requirement that you purchase that to make the live photos.
Oh. Okay. I don't know what if I have anything I'd like to make into a whatchamacallit, but interesting. I'm just typing.
Well, you never know. You find the all you have to do is find something that you find humorous that you would want to see clearly.
As I get older, I find less and less humor. But anyway,
then you definitely need it just to have something that makes you laugh and that you enjoy.
It's you, my friend. You make me laugh.
I try. Yeah. And okay. Then my second.
Oh my God! It's a Microsoft thing.
I know it's a Microsoft thing. So. At work this week, I was talking with my assistant, and I said, you know, I wish I just had an app that when a student comes up at an event, I can punch in their ID number. It tells me if they're a student that's coming to the event for class credit or if they're just visiting.
Okay.
And I hit a button, and it just checks them in. And it adds basically a row to a list and says that they were there at that time and that I hit the button to check them in.
Right.
Not a huge request, but also something that there's no app for currently to use. So I was looking around last night and I thought, you know, in the old days, I would have just made a PHP app and used the database and hosted on my domain. And I thought, but you know, the problem with that is then I've got to worry about where's the data living, and it should be living on, you know, one of the data portals that we use, and just the things like that. And then I thought, well, we use Office 365. I wonder if there are some Office 365 ways to do this. So I started playing around last night, and I found Power Apps, which is Microsoft's little – it's not – I wouldn't call it a full programming language, but it allows you to create these very quick, very pointed applications that work with data, store data. And one of the things that they can do is they can read data from a SharePoint list.
Yeah.
And they can write data to a SharePoint list. And that was really all I needed them to be able to do. So I played around with it last night, had the fun of realizing how old I am, because a lot of the things that I thought I wanted to do in a certain way, I couldn't do. I had to learn the new way to do it, because the way I wanted to do it was so old school.
And you wanted menus at the top, didn't you?
Well, I didn't want menus at the top. I actually, the thing that I wanted to do was assign a value to a text box.
Oh.
And you can't do that because the text box should ideally be bound to an item in a variable in the collection, and you can update the context and all that sort of thing. So once I got that settled away, within about 2-3 hours, I had the app exactly that I was telling my assistant about, and I published it and shared it with her, and she was able to use it. And we'll probably try using it later this month in an event that we're hosting. So I thought, I just don't know how many people are old school like me and don't even think about playing around with these new fangled features in Office 365. But if you haven't played around with Power Apps and you haven't looked at them, they're worth your time. If you're an old programmer saying, well, gee, I'd need to program something up. Yeah, you could do it this way and take a lot less time and host it in the cloud.
Yeah. A couple of things. I mean, I think I tried it a couple of years ago. And as you said, it requires data from an enterprise source like SharePoint. In fact, I think it has to be SharePoint, which means you have to be on an enterprise account. It's not something the personal Office 365 user at home can use. You need to be on some kind of enterprise account with SharePoint. So it does have a limited audience in the sense that, you know, you can't just as an individual. If you're a one-person consultancy, I don't think you can get to it. I have to think about that. It might be a small business version, but yeah. If you're a one-person shop, why do you need a small business version? Anyway, those are pretty cool. Yeah, I remember playing with it. The UI, well, at least when I played it 2 years ago or so, the UI was kind of static. You really couldn't do much with it, as I recall. It sort of put things on the screen where it wanted to, and there you go. Be happy with it.
Power Apps for Office 365 is included in select Office 365 plans. So you have to know which plan you are on in order to do these things.
Yeah. Okay. And let's see. We're coming up to the end of July, so I assume you've got some back-to-school planning to do pretty soon.
Yep. We will be getting ready to go back in just about 4 weeks. So I've got a little bit more traveling to do, and then back to the classroom.
Okay, and so on one of your next non-traveling weekends, maybe we should do another back to school, our annual back to school episode.
Yeah, that would sound good.
Get your thoughts on that. I don't know what else is coming up. Is there anything coming up that we need to? There's no techie events that, you know, big ones at least. There's, you know, a lot of specialized techie events.
Like the iOS betas continue to get more stable, but they still haven't gotten to the point, I think, where I'd be comfortable putting it on my daily driver.
Yeah.
But if you are the kind of person who's adventurous, go for that. I will wait until the Gold Master, and then I'll install it using my developer account so I can have like a couple of days before everyone else grabs it. But that'll be about it.
Okay, then. Well, that's about it for this week. We covered everything I wanted to talk about. It was good listening to your adventures with animated watch faces for the Apple Watch. I really want to call it the iWatch, you know. And Power Apps, which I hadn't thought about in 2 years. Like I said, I played with it, put it down, never went back to it for some reason or other. So I found the link for Into Life, and I'll put that in our show notes.
And Todd, if you're curious, I will send you the Skeletor watch face. You can add that to your rotation.
I don't know. You know, it's funny. The only reason I have any watch face rotation at all is because sometimes it changes, you know, when I guess I must press the crown or something by accident.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes into some kind of change mode. Although, you know, you can change the watch face just by swiping left and right. So I must be accidentally swiping it or something. I don't know. I really only like one watch face and I'm sticking with it. Alrighty, folks. That brings to an end MobiView's Podcast 262. We'll talk to you next time.